Welcome to Gesundheit with Jacobus Health Talk Radio, integrating allopathic and all-natural medicine one show at a time. Here is your host, Jacobus Hollewine.
Good morning, everyone. Everyone. Good morning to you. Welcome to the program. We have 3 hours planned talking about immunotherapy with Dr. Gary Stoner. He's back in the studio, and I really appreciate that. We'll get to him in just a moment. I just enjoy having you with us every Saturday morning. The fun fact, I haven't even said that yet to Dr. Stoner. This is live show number 888.
Fantastic.
888.
Wow. Triple
yeah.
Eight.
Isn't that something?
888 times.
Eight, live.
That's remarkable.
Yeah,
really.
that's quite a few weeks.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is I like to keep track of numbers, and that is what I came up with. So enjoyable, as always, for me to do my prep, to read, to have the guest on the show, and to dig into topics that could help us all acquire better health. And that's what the show is all about, Gesundheit. The word Gesundheit means good health or health in general. And by inviting the experts and giving them a chance to talk about what they do for a living and their research, books they've written, anything that is going on in their life that is really something that has to do with health and it could help us all, that's what I enjoy talking about. And there are times when I have open lines and we discuss whatever is on your mind, still health-related. To have the weekly shows with guests and have them dig deeper into topics that may seem confusing or that are so exciting because of what's going on in the industry and in the research, it is just something we need to talk about. So I appreciate you tuning in today. Now, as always, keep in mind, please, this is not a show where we talk, where we try to give you a diagnosis or a treatment or a cure. It's all about information and education, a little entertainment. Please see either the expert after the program. We'll give you all the information that you need, or check in with a physician of your choice and just become the best educated person you can be. Dr. Gary Stoner, my guest, and I just enjoy Dr. Stoner having him in the studio because I do see him at the gym. And then we at times talk. You know, it's always funny. You always get right into these, hey, Jacobus, there is this new research out and it's really exciting. And, you dig right and I'm standing there sweating.
I will tell you, you're a lot better at the gym than I am. So you sweat more than I do.
Well, you know more about this stuff. So we help each other out here. My guest this morning, Dr. Gary Stoner, has a farm right here in Montana, in Amsterdam. He grew up in Manhattan, where his father owned a service station. He graduated from Montana High School in 1960. He then attended Montana State University, where he received his Bachelor of Science in 1964. He went on to receive his PhD in microbiology from the University of Michigan in 1970. Dr. Gary Stoner has had a very active academic career in research, teaching, and administration, mostly at The Ohio State University. During the early stage of his career, he focused on lung cancer and the mechanisms by which chemical carcinogens in tobacco cause lung cancer. Some of this work supported the Surgeon General's decision to recommend against smoking in public places. The latter part of Dr. Gary Stoner's career was focused on the identification of chemicals in cruciferous vegetables and berries that prevent cancer. This work accumulated in the development of a food-based approach to cancer prevention using freeze-dried black raspberries formulated in different ways. You can get a hold of Dr. Stoner by emailing him at his Gmail account. It is Gary dstoner@gmail.com. Dr. Stoner, absolute, it's an honor for me to have you in the studio with all the knowledge that you have. Thanks for being here today.
It's an honor for me to be here and with all the knowledge you have, because every time I listen to your program, I learn more. My area.
Yeah, you listen.
Yeah, I've been a little bit more focused, you know, in my research and so forth, and you have this very broad knowledge about what is needed to help the organs and all the organ systems, liver, kidney, I don't know. I don't know a lot of that information. So I learn a lot from you, believe me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think that some of it is concepts that I talk about that may or may not have been clinically double-blind, placebo-controlled researched, but that have been around for hundreds of years, even longer, maybe decades, haven't had the research but have anecdotal information. And I think some people, if you want to go see a movie, you can watch the reviews or you can listen to a friend who says, you like this movie. You'll go. It's not a research. It is simply somebody you know and liked the movie. So you think, I'm going to check it out for myself. It's a similar thing with dietary supplements or with diets or with approaches to health. If somebody says, you know what, I was really where you are right now, and this is what I did. It was not easy, but I did it. And you go like, man, you look amazing. Well, you know, you can do that too. We're more prone to just give that a try than say we're going to be guinea pigs or some kind of research project that's gonna empty our pockets and it's going to maybe devastate us financially, but may not get to results. And so people love to hear the anecdotal stuff. And that is one thing that I enjoy on the show, just to hear the people tell the story. But at the same time, we cannot get too wishy-washy when it comes to knowledge. We need to have people like yourself who, you know, I've seen photos of you looking through microscopes, and I just can only vaguely imagine what you have done, how you have worked in the laboratories, et cetera, to make things to get to the point where you are today.
Well, I need to tell you that I've had an awfully lot of help in that process. I had very good people working with me, and I had excellent collaborations around the country and in some other countries, and that all added greatly to what I was able to do.
Yeah,
but this reminds me of what you're saying. I went to Hong Kong once. We gave it was a Baptist. It's not from a religious sense, but they call it a Baptist institution. Institute, I guess.
Yeah.
In any event, they treated people every day there with different herbal medicines. And so you could go in the back and you could see this being steamed up and that being steamed up, different herbs and so forth, and then someone would come in and have a liver problem, they'd give him one herb, a kidney problem, give him another herb, and so forth. And so I asked them, I said, are you following these patients and seeing whether or not it has an effect? They say, no, we aren't really documenting this, but we just know anecdotally from just years of experience that this works pretty well.
Yeah.
So if all of those things have been documented, you know, over the years and had some sort of scientific control over it, I think we'd even learn more about it. We would probably, in the end, we'd probably find that these things, these different herbal treatments actually did work, and that you don't necessarily have to have a randomized placebo-controlled trial to prove it if you can have a patient population that you're treating and you can see the effects happening.
Yeah, and one of the big topics we're discussing today is immunotherapy, and that obviously can be treated different ways. You're going to explain to us how immunotherapy has worked in your field and how with the research, the understanding the cells better, things such as dendritic cells, but immunotherapy in general, how it goes about fighting inflammation in the body, etc., and immunotherapy specifically for cancer, different cancers, that to me is fascinating information. At the same time, we do have nutritional supplements in the world that have shown to have immune-enhancing properties, such as medicinal mushrooms.
Yeah, that's correct.
The mushrooms, the mycelium that grow under the ground, or even the fruiting body. We do know of herbs such as astragalus that are very supportive of building the immune system, olive leaf, oil of oregano. There are things that have shown to actually support cells in doing the best they can in your body. And obviously, nutrition is one of the topics we do want to discuss, even if possible briefly, but that nutrition has a lot of the nutrients in it, obviously, that do either good or bad or stay neutral in our body. So if there is something that we're fighting, we need to look at what kind of foods can we use in order to just naturally every day build our immune health to ward off possible intrusions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No,
and there are many foods that do that. And we'll discuss a few of them today, I'm sure.
I'm so sorry. I hear something in my... I hear another show running in the back of my microphone, and I can hear it like this. I don't know what is running, but during the break, I hope the listeners don't hear it on the air. But I have to take care of this during the break. That's the easiest way. So we have a full agenda with the two of us. You have come up with some great topics. I'm looking over here at the topics. Maybe we can talk to people, first of all, any kind of disorder that we have in our body seems to start. Now, maybe that's not totally right. But I think a lot of disorders will have to do with some kind of form of inflammation. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can help us explain to us what is inflammation. What happens?
Well, inflammation is basically the body's response to any injurious stimulus. So whether it's an infection with a bacterium or virus, whether you cut your finger with a knife, whether you stab yourself with wood, or any kind of injury.
Yes.
The body's response to that will be inflammation. And so inflammation is when the white blood cells, what we call leukocytes, actually migrate to the area in which there is damage and try to clean it up, so to speak. Frequently, it's... when you're infected with a pathogen, infections,
yes,
or a virus that causes infection. So the leukocytes that are involved, the white blood cells that are involved, are the neutrophils, or polymorphonuclear leukocytes, another name for them, very, very prevalent white blood cells that usually rush in very quickly when you have injury.
Okay.
Then you also have lymphocytes.
Okay.
You have monocytes.
Yeah.
You have macrophages.
Yes.
Dendritic cells. There are a number of different kinds of white blood cells that respond in an inflammatory situation. The neutrophils come in, polymorphonuclear leukocytes. They engulf bacteria. They kill viruses. Frequently, there's an antibody there that's involved. And so this is a way of dealing with an injurious situation. And ultimately, once things are cleaned up, the macrophages then come in. And they sort of clean up the debris, if you will, that's left after the neutrophils have killed the bacteria or, in some cases, been killed themselves. The macrophages will come in and clean that all up. And then ultimately, if the damage is repairable, in other words, if you cut yourself just a little bit,
sure,
the epithelial cells will then grow over top again, the skin cells will grow over top. You don't have a scar.
Right.
If it's large enough, usually you'll have fibroblast cells coming in, laying down connective tissue.
Okay.
And so then you'll have scarring occurring.
Yeah.
And so that's the basic thing that happens in the injurious stimulus. It could be, you know, alcohol injuring the liver. Same sort of thing. You could get a fibrotic liver.
Yes, yes.
And we call it cirrhosis.
Okay.
You can also have same thing occurring in the lung.
Yeah.
You have significant lung damage, and you have a replacement of that damage with scarring of the lung.
Right.
So it's a very typical body response to these sorts of injurious stimulus. The cardinal signs of inflammation really are redness.
Okay.
So there's a change in color.
Yeah.
Then there's usually heat. And there's swelling or edema, we call it. And then pain. So those are really the four cardinal signs of inflammation.
Yes. So that's an interesting thing. Folks, Dr. Gary Stoner, my guest this morning on Gesundheit with Jacobus. If you like to ask a question, we're talking about currently about inflammation, but it is part of the topic of immune therapy. When did they say immune therapy? When did they say immunotherapy?
Oh, immunotherapy, yes.
So it is immunotherapy. There's nothing like immune therapy. It's immunotherapy.
It is immune therapy, but it's just called immunotherapy.
That's good. Potato, potato. Okay, yeah. Good. We are talking about these really, really interesting topic. And I think once we understand things better, there are things preventatively that we can do to either eliminate it or sharply reduce it. Because once inflammation starts, the body is going into cycles of trying to repair, which means where it could be healing, it will have to take the energy away from the healing part, from growing and improving into supporting the healing process. And so you can only do one job at a time correctly. If you get too busy, not everything gets done right. It's fair to say, right? I mean, if we have an injury or an infection or inflammation, the body is trying to help as much as it can.
Absolutely.
But we need to give it a chance to do that. So sometimes when people get sick, it may be that the body is actually saying, there is something, you just have to slow down. I need to repair. I need to heal. Yeah. And I don't want you to be running around like crazy. We need to repair this.
That's correct.
That's kind of how I look at it.
So this inflammation really, really divides into two different kinds. One is acute and the other is chronic.
That's true.
Acute inflammation is where you have an infection, you cut yourself.
Yes.
There's a rushing of white cells and so forth in to clean that up, clear it up, and so forth. So that's a rapid type of process.
Yeah.
Chronic inflammation is where you have a persistence of blood cells like macrophages and lymphocytes in an inflamed area, and they stay there because there's some change in your cells, so that they recognize you as being foreign and not you.
I see.
And so then they start reacting against you. Classic example of that is arthritis.
Okay.
And so that's a situation of chronic inflammation that can persist and can become worse over time.
Yeah.
And so the macrophages and lymphocytes, not only are they problematic in the sense that they produce a number of different oxidative radicals, like singlet oxygen, hydroxide ion, nitrous oxide, hydrogen peroxide. All of these oxidative radicals cause damage, tissue damage, cellular damage, damage to your cell protein, to lipid, to DNA, to RNA.
Wow.
So the cellular macromolecules are damaged by these oxidative radicals.
Yeah.
So the lymphoid cells produce a lot of those, and that's why you have an increasing arthritic area, increasing pain that goes on associated with that.
Right.
And it's kind of tough to treat that effectively.
Mm.
And so one of the best ways, in my view, of preventing it from occurring in the first place is to have an adequate intake of foods that have the ability to quench or to bind to those free radicals and reduce their damage.
I see.
To tissues.
Makes sense.
And so many phenolic compounds, for example, are found in...
What's a phenol?
Phenols. So these are compounds that have hydroxy groups, OH groups on what's called a benzene ring.
Yeah.
Whenever compounds have that, those OH groups have the ability to bind up a radical and take them away.
So does that would that be considered antioxidants? Is that what we're talking about?
They're antioxidants.
So when you talk about phenols, then you say those are high antioxidant foods.
That's
for example.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're found abundantly in berries, which we work with. There are many other fruits and
you
vegetables.
You bet. Yeah, that is
abundant phenolic compound, and they're not the only compounds that have antioxidant activity. Vitamins have that. Minerals have that. So it's there are a whole plethora of foods that we eat that have antioxidants in them. And those can reduce the kinds of damage associated with these diseases.
We're going to have to take a short break, Dr. Gary Stoner. We need to, let's see, there's the news coming up, a few commercials. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more about how inflammation has motivated people to look more into immunotherapy. So there's a lot of things that we can talk about today that we will. We will be right back. Thanks for listening today.
Making excellent use of your time and mind? Listening to Gesundheit with Jacobus every week.